The reading is written in John chapter 17, verse 1 to 19, as is to be found on page 1085 in the Church Bible. John chapter 17, verse 1. After Jesus said this, he looked towards heaven and prayed, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that Scripture would be fulfilled. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, I'm going to ask if you could bring those slides up for me, Georgina. But thank you very much for your kind welcome. It's lovely to be at St. Patrick's. I made the mistake of calling your new building an extension. So, apologies. It looks lovely, by the way, and I'm glad it's a great space. International needs, I just want to tell you a little bit about, and then I'll move into why I'm talking about John chapter 17. The subject this morning is mission. What else would I talk about? And why do you think I was reading from John chapter 17? Well, do you know this picture here? Do you know who's in the middle of that picture? Those of you that are missionary, you know, you've got a fascination. And do you know who that person is in the middle of that photograph with the unfeasibly long beard? We have somebody. That's Hudson Taylor. Yes, Hudson Taylor, congratulations. And Hudson Taylor, that picture was taken in around about 1880, where he went to China in that time to bring the gospel. Now, what you'll notice, he's surrounded by people that are wearing Chinese dress at that time. When he first went to China, he wore a suit, and the people of China followed him behind him and called him a black devil in a suit. So he felt that that's a point that he needed to inculturate himself, become part of the culture, and he started to learn the language and dress in appropriate ways. That was But that's what mission has been, the West sending missionaries to the rest, as it were. That's what it feels like it has been. Now it is entirely different. What has changed? Well, we used to talk in terms of, from development, we used to talk in terms of rich and poor countries. Now we have to look at it and say those rich and poor communities. That's a picture taken in India of the rich living next door to the poor. It is interesting that how our world has changed. We don't talk in those terms anymore, rich nations, poor nations, but communities. Do you know that there are 2,153 billionaires in the world and they own 40% of the world's economy? 1% of India's population earns 41% of its economy. It is quite incredible the disparity of the world that we're living in today. But the thing that we must remember, and if I'm going to talk about mission, is that some marks of mission never change. How we do mission, as Hudson Taylor understood how to change and adapt, changes. But there are a few marks of mission that don't. And the first thing I want to tell you is that the gospel changes everything. You know, in the West, we've bought into this idea that it's good to have our sins forgiven and to have this belief, but we ought to keep it private. It's a private belief, you know, it empowers us. But I have seen through our projects around the world, however small, however large they are, that the gospel changes everything. It changes the way people think about themselves, and it changes the way they think about God, which then has a ripple-down effect into the community. So rather than looking at the mission work as either doing good things or telling good things, what we see is this whole. And I want to give you this impression of mission work being like a stone that hits a pond. When you throw a stone into a pond, the ripples out. The stone is when people meet God, when it hits the pond, and the rippling out is the effect that it has in a community and a culture. This is this Sunday school I was telling you about that was so heartening. To see how training in inclusion and a dawning realization that there were a whole bunch of people being forgotten in the society were included. And this school teacher sent us this picture of this Sunday school for the disabled in rural Uganda where we work. This is a beautiful picture. This is Eltham College in London. Do you know Eltham College? Have you heard of Eltham College? Eltham College was where Eric Liddell was, you know, the Chariots of Fire. The chapel there was where he probably worshipped as a boy. And it's now a very good school. It's a private school. It's a very costs a lot of money to send your children there. And it's quite secular. But the interesting thing is that the houses of this school are still named after missionaries. So you belong to the house of Livingstone, Carey, or Moffat if you go to this school. And I took Justice there, Reverend Justice. He's an Anglican minister in Kampala, but he also is the executive director of our work in Uganda. And he came to speak to these children. And I love this picture because I call it reverse mission. Our grandparents and our great-grandparents sent missionaries to Uganda. And they saw the East African revival in 1928, where 350,000 people became Christians. And it transformed East Africa. In the stained glass windows were, Justice, you probably can see it, you probably can't see it, but in the stained glass windows were the first missionaries that went to Africa. And here is a Ugandan coming to bring the message of the gospel to a secular country that has forgotten its roots in a school. I love that picture. And that's why I love this passage in John's Gospel. You think, what has that got to do with mission? You know, this high priestly prayer of Jesus. If you've got one of those Bibles that's got red letters, you'll know that when you read the Gospel of John, it seems to be filled with red. That's because you need to pay attention. It's Jesus speaking. This is John's recording of his actual words. And Jesus is lifting his eyes to heaven. He's gone through this massive dialogue with his disciples, and he knows that the cross is beckoning him and that his mission is finishing, and he is handing it on to his followers. Not just his direct followers, but he prays for all people that will come after him. And he is sending. You think, well, where's the word mission in that passage? You didn't see it anywhere. It says, as you sent me into the world, so I have sent to them. The word sent in Latin is missio. That's why this word is used in John's gospel. John uses this language. He mentions the word sent 53 times in his gospel. As you sent me. But this is the fact. We used to think of people like Hudson Taylor and the missionaries that he sent. They're a kind of super class of Christians, aren't they? They've got that extra special something, that X factor that gives them that ability to be missionaries. What John is saying to us is that anybody who comes into a life-changing encounter with Jesus can't help but be a missionary. You and I are called. And where mission might have been sending from the west to the east or to the south, now the east and the south are sending missionaries to us in their thousands. Mission is not the west to the rest. It's mission is everyone to everywhere. And you are called to be a missionary in the school, in your work, in your college, in your on the street. So that's the first mark of mission. It's being sent. Sentness is a very quality of God himself. The Father sends the Son. The Father sends the Spirit. Sending is what God is about. It's part of his character. This, I don't know if you know that building. That building is the U.S. Embassy. It cost over £1 billion to build. It's one of the most sophisticated and secure buildings in the world. That lady's name is Jane Hartley. She is the ambassador for the United States to the United Kingdom. She is there to show, to represent her country's interests to the people of the United Kingdom. She is there to dispel stereotypes, to break down barriers, and to encourage people about the United States. She is there as an ambassador. You know, that word still has the root in it, missio, ambassador. And Jesus was God's ambassador. I have manifested your name, he says in John 17, verse 6. I have revealed your name, and that we are called to show. The next mark of mission that has not changed is that he came to save. And we are there not just to do, but to speak. How will they hear if nobody says anything? Well, that's a bit of a paraphrase of a verse in Romans. How will they hear? This is eternal life, that you may know God and him who sent, and Jesus Christ whom you sent. He is revealed in this way. I love these marks of mission because they remind me that the gospel transforms everything. We have to show people Jesus, not just in our actions, but we have to tell people. And you know, sometimes I always face this with the more secular people when I'm fundraising. They say, I love the work you do, but why do you have to tell people about Jesus? You know, isn't it just enough to show the works of God? And we'd be happy with that. And folks, we are tempted, when we think about it, to think like that, aren't we? That if we do good works, somehow it'll be fine. And of course it is, and we should. But somehow we've not made God audible. We might have made him visible. And when he calls you to do things, he's all asking you to be an ambassador, to show and to speak about Jesus. I love that picture of Jesus with the woman at the well in John chapter 4. And he has that dialogue with her. And you know what happens when she finally discovers he is the Messiah. She's so excited that she runs back to her village to do what? To tell. I've met a man, she says. Now, isn't it interesting that the same people that will say, well, why do you have to tell people? When they discover, like a vegetable, have you got these friends who discover a vegetable and think it's going to save the world? I've got friends who love turmeric. Are you a turmeric lover? It saves the world, apparently. you know, eat turmeric and your life will be better. You'll be healthier, you'll see clearer. I have people enthusiastically saying, you should eat turmeric, it's just amazing. I've eaten turmeric and it's really helped my health. People can't help but tell those things that they've really engaged with. Is it not the same when we have encountered Jesus Christ, who is that life-giving, life-saving, life-enriching person who comes into our life that we will want to show? And I want to say the last mark of mission is this. Jesus says something quite interesting, and it's very easy to miss it in this high priestly prayer. He says that so they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Where's your joy? The joy is in life-saving mission, isn't it? Jesus said, for the joy, in the book of Hebrews, it says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. There's something about mission and about sending that is connected to our joyfulness. Are you very joyful this morning? Because sometimes we can become quite dour as Christians. But there is joy in mission. There is joy. I always imagine, you know, when I had two boys, and when you ask your small children, what do you want to do when you grow up? You know, I mean, my son Jamie, you know, he didn't say to me, well, I'll probably work in an office and I'll push some paper around, you know, I'll be able to, you know, send a few memos to people. No, he didn't. He said, I want to be a fireman. I want to be a doctor. I want to make a difference. You know that in our children, there is that life-saving connection to mission, to going, to being sent, to saving. There is joy in it. And those marks of mission will never change. Just as we watch Marvel movies. Do you love the Marvel movies? You know, Iron Man or Thor. Right at the heart of Hollywood is that sense that there is someone somewhere coming to bring a message and to rescue. Folks, mission is everywhere to everyone. If we've met Jesus Christ, we cannot help be blessed to be a blessing. We have so many examples of that. Abraham, he meets God. God says, go. Isaiah in the temple. He's in the temple and he doesn't expect to meet God, but God shows up in the temple. And Isaiah says, well, what can I do? And he says, will you go? And Isaiah says, yes, here I am. Send me, I'll go. We cannot help to be called into mission, to be a blessing. And I pray that this morning, with your generosity and with your heart as a church for mission, an international mission that's been around for decades, that you will be blessed. That as you bless, you will be blessed. I see that all the time. When people donate to our organization and I can show them the work, and then when I can bring someone like Justice back to the UK, they can see that they have been a blessing and they are blessed. So thank you for your partnership in the gospel, and may God bless you.